This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Jessica Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, Dr. Ken.
Oh, Jessica.
Okay. Do you want to start over? You're like, oh, wait.
Yeah, what? What are we talking? Yeah, that's good.
Good. Hey, Dr. Ken.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you today?
That was better. That was better. The first one was weird.
So today I would love to ask you some questions about body shaming. It is actually a topic we've never covered, and we're nearing 200 episodes and we've never talked about this, which is surprising.
You know, that is kind of, except I got to ask you, do you have any idea where and when we started using the term shaming? Like, where did that come from?
You know, I feel like it has to be pretty recent because it was definitely not a term we used when I was growing up.
I
probably
never heard
even
that.
In my early parenting years.
Yeah, you were being criticized or, you know, I don't even think we talked about bullied per se as a verb, but
yeah, made fun of.
They shamed me. That's a I actually don't love that term, really.
Okay, tell me why you don't love that term. What are you thinking?
I think it's like so many things that we're now describing the external events as if it the main thing is for me to tell you how I feel inside. So if someone says I was shamed, that includes anything from I was stood up in front of 100 people and dressed down as the biggest idiot in the class. That was shaming. Or I walked into the party looking the best I could and everyone kind of ignored me, or I felt like my friends didn't talk to me as much as each other. That's not the same thing. One is really bad and the other is sort of like, well, you're pretty sensitive. So I think it bothers me because it's a very subjectivizing term of, hey, it doesn't really matter the story of what actually occurred in the world around me when I felt this. The thing is for me to tell you how I felt in that moment. And what doesn't take into account is, well, you may be super sensitive rather than we need to sort of bubble wrap you from the world. Some of this comes from displaying that, wow, you're just super sensitive, which of course, since we talk about teenagers, they all are. I'm telling you, when you transition in your body from child looking to adult looking, there's a really weird, awkward stage that's virtually always there. And I think parents think, well, I'm stunned that my child is telling me that she's feeling ashamed. Really? Don't be stunned. It's almost like, there it is. There's the shame part.
Well, you kind of have to take yourself back to seventh grade and remember what your seventh grade
just
picture looked
like. Just
go
look at those pictures.
There's one picture of me, middle school picture of me that I can have it in my mind right now. And it is hilariously bad. And I think, you know, my kids, they don't know anything about anything until they've seen that picture. And I say, look, you too, you could have gone through this. My kids fortunately don't look that bad. At least I think they,
at least you think that, but that's my whole point. They do. Yeah.
It was terrible. And you know what? Honestly, the whole term of shaming, the only thing I really recall from my childhood about shaming is when people would rub their pointer fingers together and say, "Shame on you," that sort of thing, where,
How old
you
are
know,
you? What did you
I
grow
know.
up in the 20s in a one-room school
Or
farm
just they would
schoolhouse?
just no, but they would just do that as a, you know, a way to kind of get at you when you were
Yeah.
doing something naughty, right? So I think that's the only, you know, that was the only kind of connection I had to that term, really, even
No, I
is.
know. We always had some girl that would clap her hand over her mouth and go,
That true. Yeah, that's
oh, why
true.
don't you shut up?
Right. So in some of that, my kids jokingly say, I think they're halfway serious though. Some bullying is good, and they believe it, especially about their siblings, you know, that
What? What? What
it
does that mean?
I know. They
Some
believe
bullying is good?
some bullying is good, and they tell me, you know, if I'm not gonna let my little sister do that or say that or be weird and, you know, and be awkward. I'm gonna make sure she doesn't do that in the real
Oh,
world, right? You know, they don't
that was
want her
my
to.
older brother's project. Yes.
Yes. Don't be a dork, you know? So
Yes. I can remember walking up to him to say something. This is, when I was in junior high, and he would think I had bad breath. And do you think for a moment that he was like, "Well, I'm not going to say anything." He would like be flapping his hand in front of his nose. Whoa, your breath stinks. Just speak right up. But he would argue that, look, I'm trying to help you here to keep from being an idiot.
Right. So then my kids joke that some bullying is good, but I think there is some things are said that are hurtful. And when we talk about body shaming, we could talk about any other, you know, any other way that we want. We could say it's criticism of people's appearance, that sort of thing.
Things they
You
don't have a
know,
lot of control over,
there's a
I
lot of
think is,
places,
yeah.
yeah, and there, you're right, there are so many awkward years there in middle school particularly, but even into high school, with acne, with hair,
Right.
with, you know, body changes and parts of you growing faster than the other parts of you are growing, and you know, height and weight differences among your peers.
Right.
And there are a lot of things to be insecure about and to be worried about. And then, of course, there are going to be kids who make fun of you or make comments about it. So how do we encourage our kids and support our kids when they come home upset about, you know, something that's been said at school in
Yeah.
person, maybe? You know, because you want to say, "You're perfect, sweetie. There's nothing wrong with you." But you know that's not going to make them feel better,
Yeah, my
you
mom
know?
forgot to tell me that. I don't remember her saying that I was perfect. But I think there's two big categories. The first one we've kind of been talking about, which is teaching your children how to talk to each other and to other kids, and really what stance are you going to take on your children's criticism of siblings and other people. But the other that I think is my point that I don't know that is talked about as much as it could be, which is the control or the variability of how shamed someone feels by something based on it really reveals something about your own self-view. So in other words, when someone comes home and says, I've been bullied, my friends are, telling me all this stuff that it's just making I don't even want to go to school anymore. I think it's important to use those examples as a time to actually point out the control knob of why does this stuff bother you so much? What is it that gets to you? Because technically, when someone accuses you of something, it hurts to the degree that an internal voice of you of within yourself says, "Yeah, that's probably right. You are fat, or you are stupid, or you are short." When you don't see that in yourself, then it doesn't really get to you. For example, if some kid came up to your kid and said, "You are such an Alaskan kid. You're just like any Alaskan." Your kid is going to go, "I'm sorry, what? Like, is that
Doesn't
going to
make
hurt
sense.
them?" No, because I don't even know what you're talking about. Shame comes from self-judgment that, as we know, in the identity development with young teenagers particularly, when you reach formal operational thought, you have a self now in a way that you didn't have before, that you can see, at least theoretically, how am I being seen by others? And that is always a painful process. And so part of this isn't just to protect your kid from any negative feedback, because the feedback is actually echoing or igniting an internal struggle that's happening. Do you think you're stupid? Do you think you're fat? Do you think you're ugly? then why does it bother you so much? And to be clear, I don't mean that's a conversation so that your kid will come away so resilient that nothing ever bothers me. I hope your child will not be someone that is completely impervious to anyone's feedback, because that's a jerk, useless kid. It's important to think about, well, what parts of this affect you? And have you thought about how that, and then you use that to then talk about how do you think that your sister feels when you do the same thing to her? So it really is, I think, important for parents to help a teenager to guide not just the how do I change schools and never feel critiqued, but to really guide them through the inner struggle of it really bugs you, doesn't it? You know, what do you think that's about? Like, do you worry that you are what they say you are?
Well, I think as a parent, it's really hard to watch, but especially when I see my kids at each other about things. And I'll just right off the bat, I'll tell you, I had a zero tolerance policy when my kids were young, and it's sort of the story with the elephant and the baby elephant with the chain around his leg, and and then as he grew up, he didn't know that he could get away with more, and so my kids. I would have never tolerated one of them calling another one fat or ugly or even really commenting much on physical appearance or things that they couldn't change about themselves. And so they may have said it a little bit behind my back, but they know they would have been in big trouble when they were younger. So I don't think they really pushed me too hard when they were teenagers. They're not very cruel to each other
Okay, well then
about
I will
things.
push you on it, which is what about that we I think I've mentioned it before. There's a thing among especially males, boys, known as verbal sparring. Like my friends, especially when I was an adolescent, we showed affection for each other by calling each other names and kind of putting each other down, which was basically demonstrating their ability, our each of our ability to be resilient. It was actually a compliment. The one kid we never said anything to, we weren't that close to. So what about that? Did you outlaw any verbal sparring among your children?
No, not necessarily. But you know what? I mean, the fact that you point this out, I had one boy, right? And three girls. And so I'm worried about the girls and the way that they view their bodies a little differently than I am about a boy, right? I think that the temptation and the struggles that they have are different. But I guess if I had two sons and they were at each other about, you're short, you're a shrimp or whatever, maybe I would feel differently about it. I don't know.
Well, and verbal sparring is, at least from research wise, it's also good for girls some. But very often it's misunderstood by mothers because it feels ugly. This is usually a father
It's true.
that will be going, "Really? You're gonna go dress like that? Okay, because you look ridiculous." And the mother's like, "Hey, don't say that." Well, again, there is a place for it in what traditionally was toughening each other up. 100 years ago, there was a one-act play, a one-man play called Defending the Caveman. I remember that year, it was in the 80s. And this guy just, it was one of the first, it was a comedy show, but it was about the differences in men and women before that was even a thing. And he talked about how you get women together and they're all talking and say the subject of noses comes up and they know that one of our friends is self-conscious about her nose, women will instinctively steer the conversation away from that to help their friend. Whereas men in the same situation will go, "Well, Joe over there, I mean, obviously he's got two schnozzes shoved together." Like they do it on purpose to demonstrate. And he said, and it doesn't work the same way. If a guy says to another guy, "You still driving that piece of crap?" He's like, "Yeah, it's a classic." But if his girlfriend says, "You still driving that piece of crap?" He's like, "It's a good car. Why do you say that?" It's like, so verbal sparring is kind of a technique in itself. But I think the point we're getting at is that there is obviously need to take seriously the experience of shame and to help our teenagers and children with being overwhelmed by these situations. But if you overdo that without focusing on the variability of you can go through these situations and not be this vulnerable, not feel this much shame. If you never focus on that, I do worry that it does accidentally kind of prepare your teenager for nothing. Like they can't really handle anything, or believe that they deserve a world that will never critique, never stare, never be of any kind of ugly. You can't get that world.
Well, I think it's true of so many things in life that it builds resilience when you have some obstacles in your way, right? And the
Right.
kids who have never been made fun of or have been told that they're perfect, they're really difficult people, adults to deal with. You know, they've never been criticized. They don't know how to take any kind of correction, you know, in the workplace. And so,
Right.
yeah, you want your kid to build some resilience in this area.
And for
But
our
how much is
Christian
too much?
listeners,
I mean,
but
that's
for our
the
Christian
line, right?
listeners, I have to mention, you should reread Genesis chapter 3. That's the origin of shame. You know, the whole thing is that, they're naked and not ashamed. And then what did they do? They ate the fruit to be like God. They began in the ultimate pride. The first thing that happens when they start thinking like a God is that they are ashamed. They critique themselves. That's when they start grabbing fig leaves and covering. It is your self-talk that is shaming because it's the twin sister of your pride. So, and I just am saying it's important time to help young adults think about that. Like, why does this hurt you so much? Why do you think you're kind of a target for it? I can tell you, among boys, you really have to learn in groups to laugh at yourself, or they'll eat you up. And I, frankly, being a short guy who was never full too athletic, I got to tell you, I'm really good at that. I could lay into me quicker than you could and be funnier than you about me because it demonstrated you're not going to get me. It won't work. You know, that was kind of a strategy, of overcoming my own pride. In showing that strength in a weird way. So I think a big question is what if it's when is it too much? And I as we've been saying with children, I get that you need to help and be careful. But certainly by older childhood and by adolescence for sure, you really want to start looking at why is this, how resilient is my young adult? Does that surprise you?
Yeah, no, I know because you're readying them for getting them into the world and they need to be resilient. They need to
Yeah.
be kind of independently opinionated about themselves, right? They need to have
Yeah.
an idea of who they are and be more and more secure about who they are without everybody else's opinions weighing in.
Yeah. Yeah. There's occasional videos, and I never know how accurate these things are, but someone posted a pretty old video, but some group that was, I don't know, a socialist of America. I don't know what it was, but they were trying to have a meeting and every person was given, someone would stand up and go, "Can we please, I have problems with extraneous noise and I'm asking everyone to stop the side conversations." This is in a big, room, a meeting room. And the chairman is like, "Okay, thank you for sharing that." And then the next person was like, "I need everyone to," it was like this constant standing up, demanding of everyone, "Here's what I need for sound, for, and you're like, and they couldn't get anything done. And it's like, yeah, that's why we can't have nice things. We can't get on airplanes together. Standing around and demanding that I need to be treated like this or else I'll fall apart is no preparation for adulthood.
No, it isn't. You know, so I have a daughter who's in now 8th grade, so she's, you know, the wise woman of middle school
Yeah.
at this
Oh,
point,
yeah.
right?
Knows everything.
So we were talking on the way to school this morning, and she was saying too, like, I asked about it. And middle school is just a cruel place, you know? They are just
Yeah.
always looking to find a way to criticize you, make you feel stupid, laugh at you, whatever. And she often gets in the car after school and says, "Middle schoolers are so dumb." And I think it's hilarious because I agree with her. And part of it is just recognizing outside of yourself, you know, this is going to be over. And I remind her of that often too. It's not
That's
always this
good.
way. You know, middle schoolers are dumb and middle schoolers are mean, and it's something they're going through, and they'll grow out of it at some point. But you know, a lot of it is just recognizing that this is a phase, or that there may be something else. And I like to say this to my kids, there may be something else going on with these people at home, or something on going on in their lives, and it actually has nothing to do with you or your
That's
body. They're
good.
just
You would
finding a
say that
way.
to them, like, "Hey, have you thought about what they're probably going through?"
Yes, often I
I
say
think that's really
it's
good.
probably not you, it's probably them. There's probably something going on that you don't know anything about. And you know, I feel like that's kind of the case Maybe that's pretty much how I view everybody, even the mean people that pull into the space, the parking space before you get there. You have your
That
blinker
was
on,
me, and
right?
I told you I was there
I
first.
have my blinker on. I'm waiting, and you pull in before. They probably are having a hard day because there's something else going on. And I think when we see people in that way, we take it less personally, and we realize it has nothing to do with this. They're not pointing out something that's actually happening or that you're actually ugly. They're pointing out the fact that they're upset with themselves and they hate themselves.
And I think that's huge, that ultimately what we want to say is that in talking to your teenager about their own shame experience, that not only do you talk to them about their own vulnerability to that, but also that's the trigger point to remind them, don't kid yourself, you've said some ugly stuff to some other people as well. And do you really think that they, teenagers are always telling me, yeah, well, he just thinks he's the bomb. He just is always about himself. And I'm like, no, I've never met the person you're talking about. I promise you, he secretly worries that he is the worst human ever, just like you do. So, that's where it's coming from. And what have you done not only to not do that, but do you ever help someone else? Do you ever stand up and say, this is what, by the way, what bullying comes from is being alone. The way to stop bullying is for someone, not the kid being bullied, but a friend of the kid, to just one, to go, hey, why don't you shut up? You're not exactly tall yourself. Something that now it's no fun because they have other someone else for them. Well, you want to teach your kid, why don't you be that person, the one that helps to kind of comfort those that are struggling. I think that's really a high goal, rather than just validating that, oh, you were quote shamed, as we said. I don't even know what that means, but what does that mean, and what are you doing about it in your community?
Well, and one last thing I want to get to is as a parent, I think parents are very tempted, especially when they have younger teenagers, because all through elementary school, we've been right in touch with the teachers, right? Is so when something's going on at school and my kid is being talked to this way, I'm going to go straight to the teacher. I'm going to talk to them about it and say that this happened in their class, right? Is that the best approach when our kids
I
are.
guarantee you, with a teenager, you never go straight to the teacher. I strongly recommend you go straight to your teenager and say, hey, I got this email. Do you mind if I go talk to your teacher? I had this. I had one of my daughters was being, I think, kind of harassed by other students. And I begged her. I was on the school board. I was like, hey, I've already even mentioned to your principal without being specific. He says, just give me a name. I will take care of it. And she wouldn't let me do it. She's like, no, I need to do this myself. And I never did. And it still, it wasn't a small thing, but I'm not going to go past my teenagers. If nothing more shaming than, yeah, well, my mom's already in there and telling the teacher. That implies, sweetie, you can't handle anything. And I need to be the one to come in and do this. When are you going to stop doing that? It's not that you wouldn't do that with a 6-year-old, but a 16-year-old? When will you say, honey, that's terrible. What are you going to do?
And you would say the same thing about maybe something you saw online that you went to. You wouldn't go to a parent, another parent, about what their child was saying about your kid,
Yeah, I
criticizing your
wouldn't do
kid.
any of that without at least telling my kid and asking my kid. There may be the really extreme situation that you might say, look, I know you don't want me to do anything, but this is too much. This is even criminal. I'm going to have to say so. At least they know you're going to do it. But in almost every circumstance, if you see something really mean, you really want to think about this is the opportunity to influence my young adult child by strengthening how they think about this, how they respond to this, and adding to the general message, everyone suffers. The world is filled with suffering. Everyone is secretly suffering. That's a very Christian message. But how will you handle this in light of that? And certainly push back against the false message that, well, these mean people aren't suffering. They're happy with themselves. No, they're not. They're not. Nobody is.
I think that's good. I think that's important. And just encouraging our kids in resilience that way by saying, yeah, we're all going to deal with cruel comments. We're all going to have times where we've been ridiculed and made fun of. It's just part of being human, and don't add to it,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
Like,
yeah,
don't make it
yeah.
worse for somebody else.
That's
But I
right.
appreciate this, Dr. Ken. This is a good conversation, and I'm glad we finally covered it. I think it's something that we've
Yeah.
kind of touched on here and there. But I think it's an important part of growing up, and particularly those early teen years.
I feel kind
Thanks,
of shamed that you're saying that,
Dr.
but I'm cool with that.
Thanks, Dr. Ken. Thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com. If you enjoy this podcast, would you mind leaving us a review? This is how others find our podcast.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.